good to see everyone here this morning, and God's doing some amazing things, and the Lord's just really been moving this week in the life of our church. He's moving in the life of some of you all, and I've been able to hear some stories about how God's working, and that's good stuff. If you have your Bible, would you stand with me to the honor of reading God's Word? And we're going to just read one verse, and this is going to be our focus verse for the next two Sundays after this. We got three more messages in 1 John, and we'll wrap up 1 John. And I hope 1 John's been a blessing to you, and I would encourage you to read it and reread it. Okay, we're going to be in it for two more Sundays after this. And I don't know about you, but for me, I have really grown to love this book because it's really pointed me to how awesome of a Father that we truly do have. And so hopefully you're reading this and meditating on it. And the verse that we're going to look at for the next couple weeks is this verse. And this is the verse that really made me just come up with the title of the whole series, is that you may know. Because he wants us to know certain things, and this is key, okay? 1 John 5, verse 13, he says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have," what? "Eternal life." Let's pray. Father, as we come this morning and we look at your word, your word makes it clear that you want us to know that we have eternal life. You want us to know that we have a relationship with you, that Christianity is not a faith of a hope so or I think so or maybe so type of faith, but it is a know so faith, that we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are your children, that you are our Father, and that you have saved us and you have redeemed us. So God, I pray for the child of God this morning that you will just reassure and just confirm in them your love for them, God. Lord, this morning there's some folks here, they don't know you, they know about you, and they've heard about you. And Lord, today they may be searching and just kind of seeking. And I pray, God, that you speak to their heart today. Would you let them know how much you desperately love them? And that how you desire that they would come and place faith in you today, Jesus. Father, help me to be a plain preacher this morning, so plain that a child could understand, Lord. I understand the judgment on my life. I accept that place in rightly dividing your word of truth. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're going to look at 1 John chapter 5, and we'll start with verse 1. And we're going to look through five verses this morning, and we'll get through this and have a good time. Are you ready? All right, so here we go. 1 John 5, 1, whoever, and we'll stop there, whoever is, what does that mean? Whoever. Well, who's whoever? Everybody. Are you a whoever? Everyone in this house this morning is a whoever, right? And so who gets left out? Nobody. The opportunity is given for who? Everyone here. Everyone here this morning has an opportunity to respond to what God wants to say to you today. Okay? He's not just whispering in somebody's ear over on this side and not to you. The message isn't just for this person sitting over here and not for this section over on this side. It's for everyone. And so he says, whoever, this is whoever. So this morning you got to ask yourself, am I whoever? Yeah, you're a whoever. Whoever, what? Believes, whoever believes. What does that mean? What does that word mean? Whoever believes. Does that mean just a mental belief? Does that just mean a factual belief? Or does that mean a whole, put your life into it, trust, faith, everything, I believe with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength kind of belief? Which one is it? Is it just a mental fact belief or a whole body commitment, life commitment belief? Which one is it, church? The whole body life commitment. I believe this with everything that I have, that it's not just a check mark on a card, that it's my life that I have. I believe something. How many of y'all know it's important that you got to believe something? But you just can't believe something. You have to believe the right something. Okay? There's a false sense of thinking today is that all you have to do is be sincere. And sincerity has nothing to do with it. You can be sincere and sincerely wrong at the same time. Huh? How many of y'all have been sincere and sincerely wrong at the same time? Husbands, you probably, everybody, every husband ought to raise your hand. Because I know if you've been, you know, if you're married, there's one time when you were sincere and you were sincerely wrong, okay? And so it's not about just being sincere, it's about believing. Believing in what? It says, whoever, who is that? Everybody believes, you have to believe, but what do you have to believe? Believes that Jesus is the Christ. This is where the belief matters, because you can't just believe in anything. You just can't go down to Barnes & Noble and go through the religion section and pick you out a book off the shelf and say, I'll believe this one. You have to believe in something. You can't just believe in your own conscience. I don't care who says it. You have to believe in someone. Our belief and our faith is only as good as the one that we put our trust in. And it says that we have to believe that Jesus is the Christ. What does that mean? What's that saying? That we believe that Jesus is, in fact, the God-man. He is the man that was born God. He is God who was born man. Jesus is co-eternal. He's always existed, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus came in through the virgin birth of Mary as Emmanuel, God with us, and that he is the Christ, the anointed one, or the Messiah that the Old Testament prophesied about. And so we have to believe what? That Jesus is the Christ, or the Messiah, or the anointed one. Let me ask you this morning, do you believe that? Do you believe that? If you're here this morning and you're on the you're teetering on, you think you do, maybe you do, maybe you don't, I want to challenge you this morning. He wants to speak to you today, and he wants to open up your eyes to the fact that Jesus truly is who he says he is. He is the Messiah. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, John wants you to know, is what? Is born of God. Is born of God. What's that mean? That if you believe with everything that you have in you, you believe this, mind, body, soul, everything about you, you believe that Jesus is the Christ, it says you are born of God. You're his children. You're his kids. We're God's kids. We're his children. Remember when Nicodemus was coming to Jesus and he said, you know, how does a man get saved? And what did Jesus tell Nicodemus? You must be what? Born again. And Nicodemus is like, whoa, that sounds a little weird. How's that? I'm an old man. How can I go to my mother's womb and go through that whole birth process again? And Jesus is like, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being born from above. A spiritual new birth. As you're born again. And how do we become born again? Well, John says that whoever, that includes me, that includes you, believes that Jesus is the Christ, is birthed into his family. That's good news, isn't it? That you can be birthed into the family of God. And whoever loves the Father, it says, loves who else? The children born of him. You love God, you love God's kids, you love his family. Okay, we kind of talked about that a little bit last week, right? So those of us who have placed our faith in Jesus, we know him, we love him, and we're going to love the children who are born of him also. Look at verse 2. He says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we what? Love God and observe his commandments. Now this is a little bit different. This is a little different spin on what John's been saying. John says here that we can know that we love the children of God, or we can know that we love God's kids based on our love for who? Of God, right? By our love for God, the way that we love God shows our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, right? If we love God and we observe his commandments, then what he's saying is, that is also how you prove your love for one another. Okay, now this is important. John 14, John 14, verse 23, Jesus is speaking, and Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will what? Keep my word. And my Father will what? Love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Look at verse 24 says, he who does not love me does not what? And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. And so what John is saying is that we show our love for one another based on how we love him. Our love for God and our obedience to his commands proves our love for one another. What does Jesus say? The greatest commandments that he gave us is what? To love God with what? Of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love our neighbor as ourself. Okay? So if my life is right with Jesus, then I will live for Jesus, which honors the Father and also brings blessing to others. Does that make sense? If I'm loving God with my whole self, then this brings blessing not just to me, but to those around. Let me illustrate. I got two different ways to illustrate this. Let me illustrate it this way first. Those of you who have ever been on a sports team, raise your hand. Any type, or a band, any type of team where you had a coach or a conductor or somebody that was okay. Now, if you show love and honor and respect for your coach, if you honor your coach, okay, and you do what the coach says, okay, by doing that, you show love for your teammates. Okay, now think about this. Your coach has the team in mind, right? Not just you in mind, has the whole team in mind. And your coach wants the best for the team, correct? If you're on a team, then the team is not all about you, right? It's about everyone. It's about the team. And so if you are a good teammate, if you honor the coach, listen to the coach, do what the coach says, you practice and you show up for practice and you're a great listener, then you become a better player, which in turn helps the what? Team. Now, if you think you're just the man, you know, and you don't need to listen to the coach, and that coach doesn't know what he's talking about, or she doesn't know what she's talking about, and she's foolish, she's stupid, I don't know why we're doing these runs, I don't know why we're doing these drills, I tell you, I think we ought to do the blah, 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 and all this stuff, and you think you don't need to go to practice, and you think all this stuff, and you just think on game day, here you show up, and you're like, okay, I'm here, guys. You're not much of a teammate, are you? You're really not showing love for your teammates, are you? When you're disrespectful to the coach and you won't listen to what the coach says and you won't do what the rules of the coach lays out, if you will not follow those rules, then you're not a good teammate. I don't care how much you say you love your team, you're not a good teammate. And what John is saying is if you love God and obey his commands, and you will follow what he says to do, then it's going to show love to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Because when you're following the coach and you're following him and you're doing what he says, it helps the whole church. You realize church ain't about just you. It's about the church. The church is the church. It's not, you know, it's like you are the body of Christ. Oh, I'm the body of Christ. No, you're the body of Christ. Me? No, you. Me? No, you. You got it? Not me, you, us. We're the body of Christ. And so when we're all loving God and loving the Father and obeying his commands, it's showing our love for each other. Because when we're loving him, we're going to impact and bring blessing to everyone else. When we're being disobedient and stubborn and bullheaded and we're making it about us and not making it about me instead of us and not about the team, not about the church, we're not being unified and we're being disruptive and it's not going to help the team. It's not going to help the body, and it's not going to bring a blessing. In fact, it's going to bring division. Just like, take serving, for instance. When those of you who serve, and we've got a lot of you that serve, when you serve, you're showing love for the Father, which in turn shows love for all of us in here. Do you realize that? I mean, those who are serving in the nursery right now, they're showing love, they're showing honor and obedience to God through service, and also it's blessing some of you here this morning, isn't it? Those who are teaching our children's church, they're serving, it's blessing us, right? Those who are serving in the cafe. Now, I know, I saw some of you eating those donuts this morning. Amen, huh? How many of y'all say that cafe, that's a blessing? How many say amen? By those who are doing that, those who greet, those who, the cleaning team, those who clean, those who build, those who pray, those who lead and teach, everything that is done, the things that people see and the people that things do that we don't ever see. Rocking in the park. By a group of people being obedient and wanting to obey God and obey Jesus, it was a blessing to who? Do you see that? What if just a few people tried to do every single thing? It wouldn't work. Have you ever heard a term, pull your own weight? Huh? You know, my dad used to tell him, pull your own weight, son. You know, quit slacking. Don't slack off. When everybody does that, when everybody does what God's called them to do and serves God in the gift that God has given them, it not only honors God and shows your love for God, but it blesses everybody else, your brothers and sisters in Christ, in turn shows love for them. Does that make sense? So when all of us are serving together and we're all finding an area like, man, this is where I can do. I might not be able to sing, but I can do this. When we're all saying, Jesus, you've gifted me, you've given something to me, and I just want to be faithful in that no matter what it is, if it's just picking paper up off the floor, I'm doing my part and I'm showing honor and love to God. And in the meantime, it's showing a love and honor to everybody in this house. That's how it works. That's how it is with everything, okay? The 90-day challenge, I didn't mention it last week, the 90-day challenge. Hopefully it's going good for some of you. I know it is for some of you because some of you have given me some testimonies of how God's really been just blessing your life through this challenge. The challenge is to place His kingdom first in our lives, okay? One was that through our giving, through our finances, but it was more than just that. It was putting God first in our thoughts and our minds and the way we lived, that we think about Him. But one of it was financially. And just think about that. When all of us, we have a lot of you give. A lot of you give. We got a lot of givers here. We got several tithers here. And we got a lot of you faithfully give. And just think about this. When everybody gives their part, and everybody just pulls their own weight and don't slack off, the whole church is going to be blessed. Your brothers and sisters are going to be blessed. And so when you give on Sunday mornings, it's showing honor to God and love for God, but it's also showing love for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Because everything that you invest in the kingdom of God blesses people in an eternal matter. And so here's the deal. If everyone tithed, we would probably have this building paid off in about 3 years. Okay? And here's the great thing about tithing. You don't have to give the same amount as someone else. You just give the same percent. So if you make $100 a week, guess what you bring to the Lord? $10. If you make $1,000 a week, guess what you bring to the Lord? $100. We got some mathematicians in this place. That's good. That $10 and that $100 is equal giving in the sight of God. That person that brings their $10 isn't bringing anything less than the person who brings their $100. That's the neat thing about God. And if we all just gave what God said to give, you know what? That is a blessing to the brothers and sisters in Christ. Now think about it. We got a monthly payment that we pay every month that goes to the bank. Now, I'm thankful for the bank because it allowed us to be able to get here, and I think that this place has definitely been a godsend. What about you all? It definitely has. I mean, God's moving. Now, wouldn't it be great if that monthly mortgage didn't go to build the bank's kingdom, but God's kingdom? Wouldn't that be wonderful if that monthly mortgage didn't go to the bank, but it got put into more ministry here? You know, the more resources that we have here, guess what? It goes to bless people here. It goes to purchase literature to kids and let them hear about Jesus. It goes to feed people and to help people and to do all kinds of things. We could literally bless people in this county in such an amazing way if we all did what God just told us to do. You know, it'd be unbelievable. It'd be unbelievable what would happen. And in so doing, do you think that a church that would be able to be generous in its community and among its church and provide all kinds of outreaches and ministries and ways to bless them, do you think that that would not be a big light beacon to a world? Because you see, I think God ought to get all the glory. I don't think the government should get the glory. I think God should. And so that's one way that we show our blessing. And it's all kinds of different ways that we do that. Using your mouth. The way that you use your mouth. That, you know, I'm going to encourage people rather than tear them down. You know, I'm going to use my mouth to build people up. And I'm going to pray for people rather than gossip about people. Amen. I'm going to celebrate people's successes and what they do in life and really celebrate what they do rather than being jealous about what they do, right? I'm going to use my body to glorify God. I'm going to honor God by making my eyes focus on what is true and what is noble and what is healthy and what is helpful. And I'm not going to look at people with lust or lustful heart, you know? We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We know we shouldn't be coming in church and thinking, well, what? Oh, they're hot. You know? I mean, I know we live in Kentucky, but still, it ain't right. It just ain't right. You don't have a lustful thought about your brother or sister in Christ. Amen? You don't do that. And so, do you realize, husbands, when you honor your wife the way that you should honor your wife, it not only honors God and blesses you, but it blesses your other brothers and sisters in Christ as well. The way that you live your life in obedience to God, you realize that you reading your Bible brings blessing not only to you, but to the whole church body. If we're a church filled with people who know our Bible, do you not think that's going to be a blessing? Huh? Now, I mean, think about this. Everything that we do, all right? Because here's what happens. Is that when I live for Jesus and my life for Jesus reflects obedience to him and I'm winning in over sin and I'm not letting sin control my life, what does that do to someone else? Does that encourage them to rise up? I mean, when you're seeing people live right and do right, doesn't that make you want to do better? Let me illustrate it like this again. It's like a big brother. Okay. Now, I was the little brother and I had a big sister. But let's just imagine if you are a big brother, okay, or a big sister, okay, you got a little brother, a little sister. If you love your parents and honor your parents and live in under obedience to their rules, does that not show love for your little brother or your little sister? It does. And here's why. When your parents lay down the rules, you know, get home on time, don't hit your brother. different things. Just different rules. And you as a big brother or big sister Okay? Obey the parents' rules. Right? Don't come in late. Treat people kindly. Have good manners. Make wise choices. You know, don't drink out of the milk jug. You know, those type of rules, right? When you have a big brother, big sister who honors the parents by obeying those rules, that in turn shows love to the little brother or little sister. Why? Because you are modeling for them and you're showing for them what a big brother looks like or what a big sister looks like. And if you really love your little brother and sister, you will want what is best for them. You don't want your little brother and sister hooked on drugs, out running out late, getting into all kinds of mischief, flunking in their school. You know? No, if you love your brother, you'll want to set that good example to where you study for your test so that they know what it looks like for someone to study for their test. You get in on time so they'll know what it looks like to be someone who comes in on time. That you will, when in your dating life, that you will treat the person you're dating with respect and honor so that they in turn will know when they start to date, they'll know what it's like. So we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And so what we've got to do is we've got to live a life in such a way that honors God. And in our honoring God, it shows a reflection of how a Christian ought to be. And it models for the young Christian. That's what a Christian ought to look like. Those of us who are older in our faith, we're that big brother or that big sister, and we ought to be able to be an example to that little brother and little sister that, hey, this is what a mature believer looks like. A mature believer loves God and loves His commands and follows His ways and does it the way that He says it. And when you follow Jesus and do what He's called you to do and live how He's called you to live, that sets up a tremendous model for the young Christian that may be looking at you. No, when you act honoring and act silly and crazy and make little things a big deal, you know what that can do to other people? Especially a young person in the faith. That can rub off on them, and then they're getting all keyed up over goofiness and silliness and say, well, he says that, and he talks that way, so I'm going to talk that way, and, you know, she wears that, and he wears that, so I'm going to wear that and do that. Or they go there, and she goes there, so I'm going to go there. If we love one another, we're going to love who? God, and we're going to obey His commands. And when we love God and obey His commands, that in turn shows love for who? Our brothers and sisters in Christ. So if you want to love your brother and sister in Christ, guess who you need to be sure you're loving? You know, love God. Look at your name and say, I got to love God so I know how to love you. If I love God and I love His ways, in turn, it shows my love for you. Okay? Let's go to the next verse, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we what? Keep His commandments. Now, notice what it said. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Not that we keep a lot of church rules, but that we keep His commandments. His commandments. Not that we obey our denomination, but that we keep whose commandments? His commandments. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not what? Burdensome. See, this is the good news. This is the difference between religion and Jesus. Okay? Religion will set a bunch of rules on you and say, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do it this way, you got to blah, 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 all this, and all of a sudden you think, can't do it. That's what the Pharisees were great at doing. And Jesus says, my commandments, they're not burdensome. Notice what He says in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Why? You know, what else? He goes, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find what? Rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, what's a yoke? You know, I always wondered why the Bible was so interested in eggs, you know. But a yoke is this device that is two animals, two beasts of burden, ox, mules, or whatever, and they would be bound together. And Jesus says, this thing that you put on, it's not burdensome, it's light. Because, see, Jesus came to bring us and set us free from the law of sin and death. And so everything that Jesus tells us to do is good and pure and wholesome. Everything that Jesus warns us not to do, that's for our good. Because those things will kill us and destroy us and ruin our lives. Now think about this. Because Satan, he's good, man. He is a deceiver. And he gets us thinking crazy things. Just like at the very beginning with Eve, his temptation to Eve. You know what it really was? To doubt God's goodness. Did God really say that you couldn't do that? Are you sure that God's not withholding some information from you? Sounds like to me God's, you know, he's keeping something from you. He's keeping secrets from you. And Satan does this great thing to people. He makes us think, that God's keeping something from us so that we won't have fun. Right? That God's withholding something from us to make our lives miserable. That's a lie. That's a lie. Think about this, okay? Now think with me. Let's put our brains on, okay, for a moment. And let's think. What is it that this world has to offer, or Satan has to offer, that you just have to make your life awesome and wonderful, that God says you can't? I mean, what is it? You're like, well, I tell you what, I ought to be able to drink as much as I want to. I tell you, you know, I can go in there and I can order me whatever I want, and I can drink however many I want. That's me. I'm my own man. Yeah, well, wow, that makes you a great man. I mean, here, so what you're saying is this. You would love to ruin your life maybe with alcohol. Is that what you want? Is that what you want? Is that what you want to bless you? And Jesus says, man, through his word, he says, don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't let alcohol control you. Let the Spirit control you. You realize that most abuses that goes on in home between husband and wife is alcohol related or drug related. Is that what you want? What about drugs? Well, I ought to be able to put in my body whatever I want to. See, God is trying to give you life. Satan always tries to give you death. And so when he says, you know, don't do anything to harm your body, it's not because God's up there saying, you know, I don't want you to have any fun. No, it's because he wants us to enjoy our life. He wants us, you know, some of you all must have a lot more brain cells than me, because you don't mind to ruin some of yours. And I just feel like I got to have all that I can have. Okay? But he wants us to keep our mind. He doesn't want us to destroy our life, okay? He wants us to be blessed, not cursed. And there's things that we put in our body that harms us that God says, that's not a good idea to do. Not because God's up there going, I don't want you all having any fun. No, in fact, it's the opposite. He's saying, I don't want you doing certain things because I want you to have a bunch of fun and live in my purpose and live in my plan, because what I have for you is to bless you and not harm you. That's our God. The reason why it's not a good idea to smoke is it can cause cancer. Okay? Now, guys, some of you, I know. They will kill you. Okay? Got a mother-in-law. You know, Connie, Mike's wife. She is, we are hopefully thinking that she is on the breakthrough of being able to give that up. Because it's hurting her. And some of you are the same way. And guys, I mention that to you because I love you. Because I don't want you calling me up and having me visit you at the hospital and saying, yeah, they found cancer all in my throat. Okay? Because I love you guys. God loves you. There's certain things. That's why he says don't, you know, only have sex inside of a marriage covenant. Not because he doesn't want you to not have any fun, but he wants it to be where it's supposed to be. He doesn't want you getting sexually transmitted diseases. He doesn't want you being used or abused or feeling guilty and shameful and all that. There's a reason why God gives us parameters, and it's not because he doesn't want us to enjoy life. It's because he wants us to enjoy life. Does that make sense? And so his commandments are not burdensome. In fact, they're pleasing. And they're wonderful. And they're good. Because when I do what God asks me to do, man, it brings blessing to my life. And not only does it bring blessing to my life, but guess who else it blesses? Your brothers and sisters in Christ. So God says, yes, love people. Yes, obey me. Yes, serve. Yes, pray. Yes, read. You know, well, I'm bored. Y'all have any teenagers that's like, well, I'm bored. You know, some of you adult ADD people. I'm bored. Well, get involved in a ministry. Bless God, hallelujah. I'm about to do some preacher cussing here up in a minute. Get involved in a ministry. I ain't got anything to eat, you know, I'm hungry. We ain't got nothing to eat around here. Well, I tell you what, why don't you just go get all the food that you don't have in your cupboard and bag it up and go take it to a home where the kids don't have anything to eat. And go bless them with it. In the name of Jesus, since you ain't got nothing. That'll give you something to do. My grandmother used to say, I thought it was in the scripture, but and I'd have to do a research on it. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. You bored? Teenagers, you bored? Huh? I mean, you got so many gits and gadgets and things, all this stuff, and I'm bored. How about getting together and starting a ministry? Starting a little youth praise band, starting a serve team, start something. Go bless some people. Adults, go bless some people. His commands are not to harm us, but to heal us. His commands are not to weigh us down, but to lift us up. His burden is light. Verse 4. For whatever is born of God, what? Overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What is it, church? Our faith. Now, the Greek has a play on words with the word overcome and victory that we lose in the English. So if we were to put it in English, the way it's written in Greek, it would read like this. For whatever is born of God conquers the world, and this is the conquering that has conquered the world, our faith. This is the conquering that has conquered the world. Conquering is it's in that present tense because it's a daily battle. It's a daily victory that we win as Christians. We're, you know, picking up our cross daily. And it is our faith that conquers this conquering world. And our faith conquers. It wins. Faith. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but who? Of God." Do y'all realize that your faith is a gift from God? This is not of bloods. It's actually plural there. It should be not of bloods. That means that the new birth, our new birth, is not brought about by descent, by our bloodline. It's not by the will of the flesh. It's not by our own desire. It's not by the will of man. It's not by our own human power. But it is but from who? God. Ephesians 2:4 says this. "But God, being rich in mercy." Aren't you glad we have a merciful, loving God? "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love." Whose great love? His great love, which he loved us. Go on to the next one. "Even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us" what? "Alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved," he says. "And he raised us up with him, and he seated us with him in the heavenly places," in who? Christ Jesus. "So that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." I'm just reading through there. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the" what? "Gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. For by grace are you saved through faith," it says, "not of yourselves. It is a gift of God." It is a gift of God. Our faith to believe is a gift from the Father. And he gives us this wonderful gift so that we could believe in him. And let's look at the last verse in 1 John 5, verse 5. It says this: "Who is the one who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is" who? "The Son of God." Let me ask you this question, church. Who are the conquering ones? Those who believe in Jesus as the Son of God. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you're a conquering one. Why? Because our faith conquers. Who believes this but those who are born of God? Who are those who are born of God? What are they called? God's children, believers, God's kids. Guess who overcomes the world? Guess who conquers? Guess who wins? God's kids. God's kids. His children win. Why? Because our Father has won. Our Father's already won. He's won the battle. He's won the victory. He's returning and he's coming again. Yeah, that's good news. And if we're alive when he comes back, we'll get to sing. If not, when we breathe our last breath, we get to sing. Because we have been given eternal life. in Christ Jesus, because we have been born anew in a new family. I've got a new father. And he's got a set of rules. You can read about him in his book. We call it the Bible. And it's not burdensome. But it's life-giving. Everything that the Father says for you to do, it's for your good and the good of others. Everything that the Father says, stay away from that. It's for your good and for the good of others, because He loves us. He's a loving Father. And those of you who are fathers, mothers, who really, you just love your kids. You make sure they do things in certain ways, do you not? And when they're about ready to do something that could hurt themselves, what do? You just say, well, you know, they got to learn. They say, I want to play in the street. Yeah, go ahead, they got to learn. Or do you say, absolutely not. Absolutely not. No. Why? Because you love them. That's our Father. He loves you. And if we love God and we obey His ways and His commands and we follow Him, it will not only show our love to our Father, but it will show our love to our brothers and sisters in Christ. So if you want to love me, love Him. If you want to love the person sitting next to you, love the Father. If you want to be a great church member, love God. Follow Him. Obey Him. Because when you obey and love Him, you show love to everybody else. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that we can come and worship You today. And Lord, that we all need to look to You and love You and serve You and follow You, God. And we know, Lord, that our love for You reflects our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. So, Lord, the most loving thing that I can do as a believer is to be faithful to You and to love You and to follow You and to obey You. And so, Jesus, help me. Help me to obey, love, and follow You. If you're this morning and you're like, you know what? I need to work on some things. Would you just allow God to begin to search your heart and mind and ask, what are some areas in your life that you're really not being obedient to? So in turn, is impacting maybe other believers? What are some things that you need just to turn over? Would you let God speak that to you this morning? If you're a Christian, just say, you know, Lord, I haven't been obedient in this area. Forgive me, but I'm going to change because I love You and I know it's for my good and I know it's not burdensome. If you're this morning and you do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, and He's speaking to you and He's saying, come on, I want you to be part of the family. Believe me, trust me, come to me. Would you do that? There's a lot of born again ones here this morning. There could be some births happen this morning as well. If you just come and say, I need to trust Jesus. Follow Him. Lord, have Your way in our hearts. May we obey You today in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Come. Respond. Whatever God's saying to you, come. Let's pray.